Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guests are Chantal Dinkel, a Swiss-Canadian representational painter and Belle Epoque fashionista. She's just completed an artist residency in the Gettysburg National Military Park. And we also have the founder of the National Parks Arts Foundation, Tanya Ortega, with us. Chantal and Tanya, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having me as well.
Well, Chantal, since you have just finished your residency and everything's so fresh, could you tell us just what it's been like here? And
it's been wonderful. I've really enjoyed just exploring, getting to know Gettysburg, and I've never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think my favorites have then been the sunsets and the sunrises and the misty fog over the mm-hmm. battlefield, and just opening the door and seeing that the beautiful nature in the fields. And it's been all the different subtleties that have been happening every day. It's so different every day.
And have you been in the Klingel House?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been living on the battlefield then.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Very good.
With all its quirky tilted floors and that's pretty cool. And so you feel the age of it just walking around in there. Because normally the old houses have been all adjusted so that you have modern floors or whatever. But this one has got the dips and curves. You can feel all of it. It's pretty special.
And have you done, has most of the work that you've done when you've been here, has it been of the battlefield or itself? You do landscape and portraits, so you do also a lot of, so what, have you been doing kind of a mixture, or have you had a focus?
A mixture. Mainly I've done a few battlefield paintings, mm-hmm. and mainly then sunsets, and then I've been doing a few figures, and specifically I've been doing one of Anna Wilson's husband, mm-hmm. she works at the Eisenhower farm, so her husband lives at the Culp house, and so I've been painting him over there, so outside.
Very good.
Yeah, and he's been in his full regalia of the Civil War, and then I also painted another gentleman who does Eric Smallwood, who does the horse tours.
Oh,
with
yes.
the carriage, the one, and so he dressed up as a bugle boy, and so he was playing sometimes the bugle while I was painting him, and so that was quite. Yeah, and normally I've always painted portraits indoors, so it was an experience to paint them outdoors, and because all the lighting differences and the changing, and then also then painting with Dave, then he's a stay-at-home dad, so the kids running around. And then sometimes the two-year-old wanting to be picked up, and so he's holding his two-year-old, and then I'm painting part of this, and then he's got his daughter in his arms, and she has no concept that daddy's doing something. He's like, he's standing just right there, why don't you play with me?
And have you been, while you have been working, have you been wearing sort of period dress or yourself?
Often I have. I was lent a few, some Civil War clothing from the National Park, from the Visitor Center. And so that was really nice. And especially since I didn't have that warm clothes here.
Okay.
So then that was nice to have some wool clothing that I've been wearing then as well. But then I do have a mixture of my own style, which is some clothing that's 150 years old, and then other pieces that are more modern. And I just kind of mix it into. And I actually was wanting to get dressed up for today, but this time just kind of went a little
quick. <worries. laughs> Well, and did this start in Italy when you were in art school?
The clothing it did, because I went to school in Florence for 5 years, mm-hmm. But it was really last minute that I found out about this, that I got into school, and then I just realized I didn't really have much stuff there, mm-hmm. and then Italian women are not known for being very large and quite tall. And so I started looking, trying to find clothing, and this is quite flattering. Women were saying, oh, these will fit you. I'm like, they don't go past my knees. And so I found then this clothing on the markets, and it was Tyrol clothing. Mm-hmm. Austrian, Northern Italian clothing, traditional clothing. And I was finding these in the markets that actually fit me. And I know these vests are normally like 150 euros.
What did you call it?
Tyrol.
Tyrol.
It's just the type of people in this area, the mountain region. So it's Austrian, okay. Italian kind of. It looks kind of like German or Austrian, then the clothing. And so I was finding then these 150 euro vests for like 15 euros that were beautiful, like, and some of these antique pieces that were, you know, 100 years old, and some modern pieces, and they actually fit me because, like, Austrians are a little bit bigger, Germans are a little bigger. Uh-huh. Yeah, people somehow, when they get into the mountains, they're like taller. That's how I kind of started finding them. This style kind of evolved from necessity of where I couldn't find any clothing, and I like this style, but I just never had found anything like this before that I could afford. And they would have these heaps of clothing on the markets, on the tables, and you just kind of like root through there, and that's where I'm finding these treasures. So
is this a lot of felted wool also?
There's also felted wools and really good like old linens and all kinds of different things. And then there's one of the best antique markets for Northern Italy is in Arosa, or what's the word? Arezzo, and that's where they film Life is Beautiful. It's I think the first weekend of every month, the whole entire year, both Saturday and Sunday. So if you're ever in Tuscany, then go over there. It's like an hour from Florence.
I think we can make it. It's only Friday.
yeah, and it's a great market, and that's where I found actually that 150-year-old dress skirt. It's like I have a friend who's a master embroiderist, and she said that's without a doubt all done by hand, and even all the edges that are like going like this is all done by
hand.
And that's what I was wearing the other day, that white dress.
Yeah, that was really, really nice.
Yeah. And I just bought that on the market and bought some amazing, I don't have it with me right now, but I'll show you another time, like these really, I've got my pictures of it probably, amazing buttons that are like also from like 1890s or something like that. And just all this clothing. I've also found like a 1910 dress that it fits me. It's like off the shoulder, and it got a bit of a train, and the built-in corset, and all beautiful like wide border here, and from Paris with the original box and all of that on the market. And I have to get it fixed, but
incredible.
Need a new lining, but it's beautiful.
Well, and this Gettysburg is a place where that is very appreciated.
Yeah.
A lot of the reenactors are very specific about the materials and the way that they put their that their uniforms and their dresses are sewn.
Yeah, I also did previously also did Viking living history in Europe, and so that's also one of the reasons why I was drawn then also to here, is because then of just the different type of living history and history in general interests me, and then just and doing portraits of another living history people and speaking with them and learning about this part of history, and all making the things by hand and all the traditions. And
you did a residency in Norway too, is
yes.
that correct? Okay.
Yeah, I did one with a quite a famous artist. His name is Odd Nerdrum.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2009, I did that. And then I just did an artist residency in New Hampshire in July. So,
very good.
Yeah, with about 20 other artists in two houses, and we were just all painting and over by Mount Washington, and that was also really, really beautiful. And just the all the different artists together, that was quite nice, special. It felt like being back in school, you know, where you could be able to talk to all kinds of people and then talk about our work every night when we get back in, and then painting together. And yeah, that was.
And it's interesting to then have this residency following that, where you have more. you know, a focus on your own, but you still have the sort of public aspect. So they have, I'm sure they each have their sort of pros and cons. I almost said for Nachteile. So Tanya, do you have like an elevator speech, or when someone is asking you, you know, what is the purpose of the arts program in the National Parks?
I don't have an elevator speech. You know, I should do the Tony Robbins training or something and have something prepared, but I really don't. Well, sort of on the subject of being in an artist community as a residency, or being a more solitary experience. A lot of our residencies are very solitary, and they're even in, you know, on, you know, here at Gettysburg is a little more social. We have one that's, you get your own island, and, you know, for a month, or, you know, we've got these kinds of things out in the middle of Death Valley, and things like that. Basically, I mean, to put it in a nutshell, I guess, and I could just tell you the mission statement, but I've said it so many times, it's one of the things that really is the point of it is to interpret these beautiful places that were interpreted like this 100 years ago in the parks, before they were even national parks. And it's one of the reasons that the national park started is because an artist went to where Yellowstone now is.
Absolutely.
And painted sketches. They weren't even the final paintings. Showed them to Congress. And yes, it was convincing. But it was convincing because it interpreted a place that they couldn't get to. They haven't seen this sort of sacred natural place. And to be able to take artists to these places, to have these opportunity. I'm just kind of doing a throwback thing that happened that many years ago. And unfortunately, the parks just haven't had the resources to do it. So we're able to do that. I mean, thank goodness, you know, they're protecting battlefields, natural parks, all of these things. They're doing their job. So, you know, we can do ours and be able to put these in place for them. And also for the visitors, it's a different interpretation. So the artists get this wonderful thing, the parks, the visitors, the gateway communities, you know, and thank you for having us to the seminary, because that's yet another expression for the artists. So,
well, we're delighted to have both of you here. One of the things that I was just thinking about with this sort of interpretation of, how can I word this? You were just saying this has been done for a long time, and I can't help but think, so we're surrounded by people who are being trained to be pastors, right? Mm-hmm. But in a much broader sense, because a lot of the graduates here at the Lutheran Seminary, they go into... Some of them go into social work, some go into preaching or chaplaincy or all different kinds of things. And so they're also doing something that has a long tradition, but is, and yet they're doing it very new, always in new circumstances and in a new context. So I was wondering, I know this might feel like kind of an odd thing to throw at both of you, but I would be so interested in hearing, pretend I'm a seminarian, someone who's like here in graduate school, and you wanted to say something as an artist who's, both of you have really interesting, like, geographical experiences, and your, you know, the sites mean something to you, and just the kind of lives that you've had as artists, and the work that you're doing now, and the work that you've done in the past. So, what would you say as a sort of as a sense of adventure or encouragement for someone who is also doing something that is both steeped in tradition and yet always completely aware of the world that they're in now and the things in their own lives and in society that are changing? Do you have any sort of thoughts or ideas about that?
Well, this just kind of, who knows where this came from? Too much caffeine. It just sort of pops into my head is, for somebody who is in seminary or the arts or doing anything where a faith is involved and an aesthetic, I think you have to never, just always understand that you're never a stranger. Because you always have that. So, absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. yes, the geography changes, mm-hmm. but you have to kind of trust that. But then again, I did drink a lot of coffee.
Well, and we also have some of the, so a lot of the talk here is about like the call, like where you're going and people go different places for so many years and then to someplace else. And so some of our graduates and are in like very rural situations or mm-hmm. very urban, or some of them also go to different countries or they do very different types of work. So they also are kind of setting off on these, you know, they're embarking on their own sort of future. And they're also, you know, the site is something that they then adapt to and think, okay, what should I do here? Or, and I just, I don't know, you both have such interesting experiences with the places that you've mm-hmm. been and how, and the work that, you know, you bring with you all that you know, and you're very interested and curious about the world. And yeah, that was really interesting what you just said about
you guys
never being a stranger.
Silent after I said that. No. Yeah. No, it was a real faux pas. Or it was the comedic pas.
I love it. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Being open to experiences and not having preconceived ideas. So you never, things can really surprise you and people can touch you who you in ways like in your mind or with your experiences that you never expected, you know, and could resonate with you, and things can, with just a chance meeting or mm. or a beautiful place or you know, that you never know when those things will happen, and you can't really go out and seek that. It just kind of happens. We have to be open to it as well.
Yeah, you have to be receptive, or else you'll miss
the to the big and the small things, and to be aware of that and to cherish that and to, you know.
There must be a word in some other language for that, you know, in film.
Yeah,
it seems like always the great things and moments are always these accidental sort of happenstance. Yeah. Things, you know, and how do we pay attention to those? Because they're really important, but we just don't let it happen.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you have to be out to be able to experience that as well. Mm-hmm. You can't close yourself in, and you have to go outside of those boundaries that you know that a lot of people have set for themselves, and experience that, and be aware, and you know, smile at people, make eye contact, different
smile?
Things like that.
What?
Things like that, you know.
That's
just because you never know who you will meet and what kind of experiences you will have, and just like greeting people and you know, enjoying, you know, sometimes I can feel such love and from for just walking outside and seeing like the colors of the trees or the fog and the light, the moonlight hitting mm-hmm. it, and you know, just kind of. And that, like, I just had an experience of that a couple of days ago here on the, and it's like a highlight of my whole year so far.
Wow.
It's just like the moon on the
mist.
On the mist after leaving you. It's like,
oh really?
Yeah,
we got to see that on the way.
So beautiful. Yeah, it was just all glowing. I like turned off the lights on my bicycle.
I'm going to throw this out there because I'm in a weird mood anyway. But Leonard Cohen wrote this poem that turned into a song, and it starts. As the mist leaves no scar on the dark green hill, so I will leave no scar on you, nor ever will. As wind and hawk encounter what remains to keep, as you and I encounter and turn to fall asleep. Anyway, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
It's very, very beautiful.
Nice.
So that reminds me, like the moon coming down.
Yeah.
Nice.
Leonard Cohen is brilliant.
Yeah, he's pretty brilliant.
That's a gorgeous connection.
Yeah.
I was, when you were talking about this, the smiling and the being receptive to people, would you mind saying something about the thing that you did with this vintage picture frame? I was just thinking about that. Like I read about, if you could just, because I just think that's also very...
That was really spur of the moment. Like I was at an antique market and I found this frame, and we were going to be going to a Christmas party later on. But so we were going on the tram home, and I was holding to my friend's house, holding the frame on my lap. And then there was a little girl sitting across from me, and she was wearing this little chicken hat, and a Russian girl who didn't speak any German or didn't speak any English. And we were just kind of like playing with this picture frame, and we were having so much fun, like just this communication of, like, you know, using, playing with this, I don't know, you know, like kind of feel like then a little bit of an actor. You have a mask on, having this frame around you, and it just, and then all the other people inside the tram started being receptive of it as well. That it, I'm like, why am I going home? I want to go and continue doing this. So instead of like, we just continued, got off at a different stop, and then walked around downtown Zurich with this picture frame, and I just went and like smiled at people walking through like the downtown business core area, you know, where everybody's wearing quite, you know, stark clothing and dark, and then they're all on a mission, and then I was walking around smiling at all of them, and at least, you know, several thousand people then smiled back at me, and so, you know, the problem might have changed on the rest of their evening, just having that little bit of that small experience. And some people were really trying not to look at me and not to smile at me. And they don't know if they didn't know what my deal was, but I'm not asking anything. I was not going to give anything to them, a flyer and then that. I was just wanted to, you know, brighten their day even for a moment, or and it just so I walked around for at least like two or three hours and just smiled at different people along the way. And it was quite fun. And some people wanted that to be in the frame.
That's
with
what
me
I was
going to
ask. Did anybody like turn it on them?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Themselves?
No, there's some people. Yeah. And I actually met some famous people while I was doing that as well that evening. And I didn't even realize it in time until I looked it up.
Until you looked at the photo.
Yes. Then I was like, oh, actually, that person is this person who was like super famous in the 1970s, like with the Rolling Stones and stuff like that, and traveled around with all these different people. And, yeah.
And it's also, there's something unexpected too. You've got this combination of something that is completely live and spontaneous, and yet usually a frame is something that we do at when a work is done, right? It's something that's otherwise very sort of controlled and this sort of final, you know, putting the frame on,
the
hanging it,
touch.
Placing it somewhere. Like, so there's also,
well, it's
such
a traveling context.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
You're just giving context to people.
It's a bit of a, I guess it was some, it can be also a performance art as well. And some, you know, if you want to put a title on what it was doing it, but at the time I was not thinking about that. I was like, I just want to go and like smile. And, like, it made me feel so good. I'm like, I felt so good. I just wanted to, you know, do that, and it was free and easy, and makes other people feel good as well. And
absolutely.
And
I wonder if it hadn't started with a girl in a chicken hat as a child, if it would have, you know,
would have developed, came into that.
Would have developed a little bit.
I don't know,
like that.
I don't know, just,
she was probably pretty open. She had no preconceived idea of even the context of the frame. That frame could have been anywhere for her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Chantel and Tanya, could you each just say something about what you're looking to do next? Like what your plans are, what one of your next project, or
I usually fly with a one-way ticket wherever I go.
Okay,
so I'm open to whatever adventure comes that way. Just like saying, you never know where your smile, where it will go, like, and where, who you'll meet along the street. Like, that's, I'm always open up to any kind of adventure, and I have no idea. And I'm hoping that I'll have some more adventures with Tanya. Just new experiences. I have no idea where I'm going from here. Really, I don't. So at some point, I'll go back to Europe.
Yep.
Because that's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can go anywhere. And that comes with the freedom of just, you know, I don't have a partner. I don't have any children. And I just go on adventures and want to create art and have experiences, and that's kind of where I'm going.
That's great, yeah. And Tanya, what's your next stop? Or you're traveling quite a bit right now, aren't you?
I am. Uh-huh. I am. So here at Gettysburg, it looks like for the next 2 years, we are going to do 12 residencies at least.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh.
A year.
That's
so
great.
This is not out there, but it can mm-hmm. be because it's still in sort of the proposal stage. So we're doing... probably poetry.
Excellent.
We've got the mm-hmm. best partner we could have in the United States, really, for this. Music, veterans mm-hmm. programs, open call programs mm-hmm. just for any type of media. What else do we have? So we're kind of, we've had so much interest in these very particular areas that we feel like, and the Park Service here is just great. The program here is... because it has a real investment from the community. Mm-hmm. You know, people like the mm-hmm. Alliance and the park mm-hmm. itself, like no other program in the United States. So so I guess I'm meandering. But so for Gettysburg, the programs are getting bigger and wonderful and more engagement with even so younger people mm-hmm. are learning this history through a different language, of art and these different ways to interpret it. And of course, the museum's beautiful and all that. But as far as traveling goes, in the program that's bigger, we are evaluating all of our programs. So we have 100 different programs. Mm. And so it's, we're reining it in, auditing ourselves, that kind of thing. We're lucky enough to get NEA grants and private donors. Mm-hmm. And so we're just trying to, for what we have, kind of shape that up and make it strong. And what we're looking for are more parks and more artists to become involved, because after this year, 2018, we're doubling our programs.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's like, and then we're looking in Vietnam and Japan, and we already in Brazil, and so we already have these international programs also set up. So this next year is about sort of tightening it up, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, seeing what objectives we need to focus on and which ones are just naturally there. Travel-wise, right, let's see, tomorrow morning at 7 in the morning, I'm heading down to Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going up to Colorado on the train, and getting my car, driving over to Santa Fe, and then Sedona, and then Tucson to Colossal Cave, and then back up to Colorado, and then to the Philippines.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of traveling, but yeah.
Well, I so appreciate the time that both of you took to come to Seminary Ridge today. Thank you very much. You've been listening to The Seminary Explorers. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guests have been Chantel Dinkel and Tanya Ortega. Chantel's website is www.chantelledinkel.com. Also, visit the National Parks Arts Foundation at www.nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.